This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show with me, Tee Shao Eek. If you were to suffer a cardiac arrest at home or at work, your survival would depend on a bystander giving you immediate CPR to help you get your heart beating again. Today, we cover why community CPR is an important pre-hospital care service and why we need to learn this life-saving procedure. I have in the studio with me Dr. Lee Soon Han, an emergency physician from Hospital Sungai Buloh. Good afternoon, Dr. Lee. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Shah. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Lee, as an emergency physician, of course, you see all kinds of emergencies in the course of your daily work.
Yes.
You know, it could range from choking to heart attacks to accident injuries as well. So how many of these people could be saved from these conditions if CPR or first aid had been done before they reached hospital?
Well, for out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, the earlier we start the CPR, the better the outcome it is for the victim. So definitely, it is hard to give a number on how many that can survive and come to the hospital. But we have to understand that out-of-hospital cardiac arrest can happen anywhere. And most commonly, it happens in our homes. Apart from that, it can happen in shopping malls, public transports, swimming pools, and even sports centres. So people have this conception that sudden cardiac arrest is due to a heart attack. But actually, it's only in a few number of cases. Most of the time, it usually happens without any warning signs, unlike a heart attack where you get chest pain and shortness of breath. So, and people also think that sudden cardiac arrest only affects the elderly, but in fact, even young adults and children can suffer from this. So what actually happens is that our heart suddenly develops an abnormal electrical rhythm, which makes it to become unable to pump efficiently, and thus the person falls and becomes unconscious and does not breathe. So the earlier we activate our emergency response system, the earlier somebody actually comes to the victim and starts CPR, the higher the chances of survival.
When you say earlier, what is the optimum window?
Okay, so what happens is when our heart starts to fail or does not work because of the sudden cardiac arrest, within minutes, because of the lack of blood flow and oxygen to the vital organs in the body, our vital organs such as our brain, our kidneys, and even our heart itself will start to fail. We are talking about a very narrow time window of about 3 to 4 minutes. So definitely, if it's a witness cardiac arrest where someone, a bystander or a member of the public or community, manages to catch this victim or sees this victim falling and become unconscious, the faster we do CPR, the better the outcome.
How will you know that, you know, because a person has become unconscious, that it would be due to sudden cardiac arrest and that you will know that CPR is needed? What are the signs that distinguish sudden cardiac arrest from other conditions?
Okay, what we normally teach in our community CPR for a member of the public is that all they have to do is just find that the victim is unconscious, does not show any signs of response, and the victim is not breathing. So this alone requires that the heart is not working when a victim is not breathing at all, and he or she will require CPR, which we call cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Why actually, if we can take a few steps back, why are we talking about sudden cardiac arrest specifically in relation to the need for CPR? I mean, is it so common?
Yes, in fact, like I've mentioned earlier, it does not only affect the elderly, but even young adults, working adults and children alike. There are many, many causes that can cause the heart to fail and stop pumping suddenly, not just heart attack alone. So because it's so common and it's one of the commonest reasons why our 999 emergency response call is activated, so it is very important that we educate the public so that we can improve the awareness on the need for the public to learn how to do CPR.
When you say it's very common, is it possible to put a number to it?
It's hard for me to give a number because right now our data in our country is quite underreported. Mm. But what I can tell you is that in Malaysia, our survival rates from out-of-hospital cardiac arrest is quite poor, actually. So it is about 8%. So that means if 100 people come to the hospital because of sudden cardiac arrest, only 8 people get discharged well. And as compared to countries around the world, it ranges from about 2% in the very poor developing countries to up to 50% in countries such as the United States of America, depending on which city.
So meaning that an 8% survival rate in Malaysia, 92% are not surviving a sudden cardiac arrest?
Yes, because they can either be because they get help too late, or sometimes because when the heart does not pump, does not work efficiently for too long, and it is very, very difficult to bring the victim back to life again, despite the best efforts of the paramedic team from the ambulance. So that is why we educate three things for our members of the public. Whenever they see a victim of sudden cardiac arrest in out of a hospital environment, they need to call 999 as fast as possible to get help and follow the instructions that's given by the call dispatcher. They need to try to do CPR if they know how to. And if they do not know how to, all they have to do is just follow the instructions given by the call dispatcher on the phone when they call 999. And lastly, they need to find an AED, which is what we call an automated external defibrillator, where it is a machine to deliver an electrical shock therapy in order to try and restart the heart back to normal again.
Okay, so two points that I really like to explore more as we go on. Doing CPR itself, as well as the importance of the AED. But actually, before we go into these details, can you describe actually what happens, you know, from the time that an emergency occurs, like you said, it could be at home, at work, you know, whatever it is out of the hospital. What happens from the time an emergency occurs and on the journey to the hospital, and what actually happens at the hospital? Paramedics are involved, of course. At the hospital itself, the emergency physicians like yourself get involved. Everything that happens along the way and how each of those steps improve survival.
Okay, so when a victim becomes unconscious and stops breathing due to sudden cardiac arrest, hopefully there is an eyewitness or maybe a family member or a friend who manages to catch that event. So when it happens, normally the bystander will start to become panicked because his family member or his friend starts to become unconscious. So first thing they'll do is try to get help. Sometimes because of the panic, they may not think about calling an ambulance. They may be trying to call their family members, their friends, which will cause further delay. But that's why we need to educate them to get help as fast as possible. And in Malaysia, the emergency number to call is 999 when you need medical help. So
once not 911, as some people make the mistake of doing.
No, actually, to contact the police, the fire, and to get an ambulance, all you have to do is just call 999. So after that, the person will be connected to a call taker on the phone, where that person is actually a medical staff, and he or she will give instructions on what to do. So by the moment the call is connected and certain details such as the house address and the phone number has been confirmed, an ambulance has already been dispatched to the location of the emergency. So this is what our public have this wrong conception, whereby they think that by being on the phone with this call taker for too long, the ambulance is being delayed. But actually, the ambulance has been sent as fast as possible from the moment we confirm the address. So after that, the family member will just have to follow the advice of what the call dispatcher says on the phone, which in a case of sudden cardiac arrest, he or she will teach that person how to do CPR. So once the CPR is started, we will also hope that nearby there will be an automated external defibrillator, or you can call someone to try and get it. So that machine is a very, it's a voice prompting machine where it will give instructions where anybody can use it, not just healthcare providers, and you just have to follow the instructions. So the ambulance team with the paramedics will definitely take a few minutes to arrive, taking into consideration the location of the emergency and, of course, traffic and things like that. So we are talking about a few minutes whereby the life of the victim depends only on this public bystander or member of the community. That is why it is so important for community CPR to be people to be more aware of this now. Once the ambulance team arrives with the paramedics, they will take over the CPR and they will package the patient and transport the patient safely to the nearest hospital. And in the emergency department team will continue the life support care for this patient, which includes putting in a breathing tube, connecting to a ventilator, giving medications, and hopefully the patient survives and the patient will go will move on to care in the ICU and so forth.
You know, there is, of course, some who believe that when they contact emergency services, the ambulance takes too long to arrive. And we have heard some unfortunate stories. Of course, they're dependent on a lot of extenuating factors. But, you know, if in the event an ambulance is stuck in traffic or for whatever the reason may be, can the bystander be on the phone with emergency services the whole time to get more guidance?
Yes. As a matter of fact, when you call 999, TM or Telecom Malaysia will connect you to the emergency that you want. So if you say that you're having a medical emergency, they will connect you to the nearest medical emergency coordination center, which in Klang Valley, there are 7 of these centers, my hospital included. So it will be connected to the hospital with the nearest location to the current address of emergency. When the person calling for help is connected to this call dispatcher, that call dispatcher will address what is your emergency, apart from getting the usual details such as to confirm the phone number and what is the address. Immediately, the ambulance is sent at that moment. This is the misconception that our public gets because they stay on the phone for some time with this call taker. But actually, the ambulance has been sent at that moment. And then if the story sounds like a sudden cardiac arrest, whereby the victim is unconscious and not breathing, our call taker will immediately advise the patient, the person to put his or her phone on speaker mode, and then will teach that person how to do CPR for the victim. And the instructions will be continuous until the ambulance team arrives.
Right. Okay. So that's very important that you won't be left alone, not knowing how to continue or how long you should continue for. Okay, that's good to know. We're going to go for a quick break now. I'm speaking to Dr. Lee Soon Han, emergency physician from Hospital Sungai Buloh, and we're talking about the importance of community CPR, especially in the instance when sudden cardiac arrest occurs outside of the hospital. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back to the show with me, T. Shao Ik. In the studio with me today, Dr. Lee Soon Han, emergency physician from Hospital Sungai Buloh. We're talking about community CPR and its role in saving lives, especially when sudden cardiac arrest occurs outside of the hospital. Dr. Lee, you mentioned earlier that sudden cardiac arrest, of course, is one of the most common causes of emergencies, and without immediate CPR instituted, in Malaysia, that we only have a survival rate of 8%. So 92% of people suffering from out-of-hospital cardiac arrest don't survive. So you've mentioned calling 999, the emergency services, as the very important first step that you should do if your friend, your family member, or somebody in your vicinity has a sudden cardiac arrest, which basically means that they are unconscious and they are not breathing. Let's move on to the next step that they will be instructed to do when they are on the line with the emergency services. They will be taught how to do CPR. That's assuming if you don't already have training in doing CPR. So perhaps a sort of 101 on what takes place when you do CPR, Dr. Lee.
Okay, CPR is cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So it means that we try to restart the function of the heart as well as the lung. So for community CPR or for CPR done by a lay person or a member of the public, what we advocate is just hands-only CPR. That means it's chest compression only. There is no element of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. So all it takes is for a person to put both hands on the chest and compress the chest in order to try their best to improve the survival of this patient. So when we compress the chest, actually what we are trying to do is that to pump the heart to try and simulate and try and at least get a bit of a blood flow in the body of the victim so that there is some blood flow and oxygen flow to at least sustain the vital organs. Sometimes this alone can bring a person back to life. Most of the time, what is required in sudden cardiac arrest is an automated external defibrillator. As I've mentioned earlier, the abnormal electrical rhythm is what triggered this person to become unconscious in the first place. So that's why we also advocate that a nearby AED, if it's available, to be brought as fast as possible to the location of the emergency. We cannot wait for the ambulance team to arrive with the AED because it might take a few minutes. So once the AED machine has arrived, all the member of the public has to do is just to follow the instructions what that is given by the voice prompt by the machine.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. So what you should do is immediately ask around where you could find the nearest AED. But while somebody is searching for the AED, you do the manual chest compressions. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
But, you know, what kind of places would we be able to find AEDs?
Right now in Malaysia, common places to find AEDs are large public places such as shopping malls, and some public transportation places such as MRT and LRT stations, but not all, and religious places of worship. So we are thinking about places where there's a large gathering of people, high concentration of people, so the risk of sudden cardiac arrest is higher. Unfortunately, there is no requirement or law that states that this place must have an AED, which is what we in the Ministry of Health is trying to advocate. We want more places, more public places to be equipped with AED so that we can actually use this in the event where there's any case of sudden cardiac arrest.
Is it right now the initiative of individual organizations or places to supply AEDs?
That's right. In public places such as shopping centres, if I'm not mistaken, I think it is a requirement to have it in order to run the centre. Unfortunately, for sports centres such as gyms, maybe futsal courts, swimming pools, it is not really a requirement. However, those places are also at high risk of patients are victims suffering from sudden cardiac arrest. Even childcare centres, because sudden cardiac arrest can affect children or even teachers in schools. So we advocate that schools and childcare centres be to have staff that know how to do CPR and also they know where to get the nearest AED.
What happens if you can't find an AED?
All we have to do if we can't find an AED is just to continue the chest compression and wait for the ambulance team to arrive.
Right.
But in the meantime, if probably get more help in order to try and find one.
But, you know, how long can you keep doing CPR for? What is deemed reasonable? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes?
It is hard to give an estimate of a number of minutes, but what we want is for the member of public to continue CPR as long as they can until the ambulance team arrives, unless the situation is deemed to be dangerous or that it's hazardous for them to do CPR. For example, if there is an element of a natural disaster or is happening in a building that is unsafe, on fire, so where the safety of the member of public is more paramount and more important. But apart from these incidents, we advocate for them to continue until they are extremely exhausted or which usually happens is until the ambulance team arrives.
So you mentioned that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation is no longer practiced. So could you give a quick refresher on, you know, the chest compression part? How do you do it?
Okay. First, when there is a case of a victim suffering from sudden cardiac arrest or a victim collapses, if you are a member of the public, when you attend to this victim, first you have to make sure that the scene is safe. There is no element of danger or hazard surrounding you that may cause further harm to you. For example, electrical wiring or maybe floods or things are just unstable or structural collapse. So apart from that, we'll have to check the response of the victim. So if the victim is unresponsive, you need to shout and call for help, which is what we advocate, to get another member of the public to call 999 and also another member of the public to look for a nearest AED. While this person stays on the phone with the 999 caller and continues the life-saving measures. So they need to know how to open the airway of the patient and see if the patient is breathing or not. So normally when you are on the phone with the 999 operator, he or she will teach you how to do this. Okay. After that, if the patient is not breathing, the operator will tell you how to do chest compression. So the chest compression is just basically by using both hands, put at the center of the chest and pumping the chest down and up and down and up about 200 times in 2 minutes. This is what we advocate.
There are, you know, fears, of course, about risks of CPR, such as breaking the patient's ribs, you know, those kinds of things. You know, how do you weigh those risks against the benefits of doing CPR?
Okay, if we are talking about in terms of reluctance by the member of the public to do CPR, there are many factors that actually contribute to this. Commonly, when a member of public feels that they need to do CPR, in the first place, they think about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. So we have addressed that only chest compression is needed. So there's no risk of unhygienic practices or transmission of infection. In terms of chest compression causing rib fractures and further injury, bear in mind that there is always that risk of that happening. But if we do not do anything and we just leave the heart as it is, the chances that this victim will come back to life or to survive is extremely low. So some CPR is better than no CPR.
So, you know, for people who have not gotten any training, who have not learned about CPR at all, and who are very afraid that they might cause harm to the patient, you're saying that it's okay for them to still go ahead and do it?
Yes, anybody can learn CPR and anybody can become a lifesaver. Because again, if you do not do CPR, that victim most likely will not make it. And remember, sudden cardiac arrest can happen to anybody, whether it is your loved one or your friend or a stranger. And we hope that we can make the community to be more aware and they can be more willing to be more courageous to step forward and perform CPR, especially those who know how to.
So, I mean, you've said that we will be taught by the emergency services when we're on the line with them. But is there a case for everyone in the community, in workplaces, in schools, in colleges, to get actual formal training on how to do CPR?
Yes, definitely. That is a very, very important aspect which we, the emergency physicians in the Ministry of Health, is trying to address. So we want to advocate and teach more members of the public on CPR. So what people normally associate CPR with is actually a basic life support course. That is actually a skills accredited course which runs over 1 to 2 days. And that in that course, you will get a proper certification. But that course also encompasses other skills such as CPR on a child victim and also how to treat a choking victim and things like that. Normally, those courses are done more for healthcare providers. But for members of the public, all we need to do is just to teach them the general steps on how to perform CPR. Those steps can be used for adults as well as children. So that that lesson alone can be taught within 1 to 2 hours. It does not take long. So what we are trying to do now is to promote as many members of the community to learn this. What we do is we organize mass CPR events. Sometimes you see private organizations organize events such as that, universities where you can see in shopping malls, in halls, large-scale events where hundreds of people will learn how to do CPR. We also hope to push CPR to be included in the school curriculum, primary and secondary school alike, where if every student in a standard 6 or form 4 knows how to do CPR, that means we can safely say that almost every family in Malaysia has a potential lifesaver.
I'm surprised that it is not already in school curriculums, but, you know, I certainly remember when I was in school, we never learned this. But what about in the uniformed bodies like Persatuan Bulan Sabit Merah or St. John's? Do those members at least get taught some basic CPR?
Yes, for uniform bodies such as St. John's and Red Crescent, they are taught by their instructors and also other form of first responders as well, such as our firefighters, Jabatan Bomba dan Penyelamat, as well as our civil defence. So these people actually have been taught CPR and hopefully they will be able to perform it if they come across a case of sudden cardiac arrest.
So speaking of students and young people, there was a really heartwarming story of a group of teenagers who saved a footballer's life when he had a sudden cardiac arrest. Perhaps you could tell me a little bit more about what happened there, how they knew what to do, and how we can sort of replicate that.
I believe that this event happened in Penang, where there were 5 secondary school students who are actually members of St. John Ambulance Malaysia. So they actually learned how to do CPR and how to use an AED from their uniform body, where they came across a man who collapsed suddenly while playing football, and they managed to start CPR, call for help early, and continued good quality CPR and using an AED until the emergency response team from the hospital arrived. So it is a very, very good and very, very heartwarming success story, because that victim survived all the way to the hospital, and he actually was discharged from the hospital well, with no any extra adverse outcomes to him.
Fantastic. So then it makes sense that we should target school children as maybe perhaps even the most important group for community CPR to be taught?
Yes. In fact, the emergency physicians in the Ministry of Health has approached the Ministry of Education, where we are currently in discussion to try and include CPR as part of their pendidikan jasmani, so that primary and secondary school children alike know how to do CPR.
Okay. What kind of emergencies would CPR make a huge difference in besides cardiac arrest?
We only use CPR for cardiac arrest, and CPR is required for 100% of the cases, and definitely if you perform CPR, you improve the chances of survival for this patient, whether in an out-of-hospital environment or within the hospital.
Okay, so then, what can organizations do if we don't have a law to compel us? You know, it's really about your own initiative now. So, what could workplaces or individual schools or childcare centers do to equip their staff or their employees with the skills and the tools to carry out CPR?
Okay, in terms of learning how to do CPR as well as the tools that they need, right now what we hope is that not only organizations but the relevant ministries actually help to take part and try to push this initiative of learning CPR. So we are talking about the Ministry of Education, Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development, Youth and Sports Ministry, as well as Transport Ministry, because we hope to include AEDs in LRT and MRT and KTM stations. So in terms of private organizations and other bodies, we hope that they will also send their staff to learn how to do CPR, and also equip their officers as well as their event halls with AEDs.
So where can we go to look for places to do training?
Many private organizations do offer CPR courses, as like what I mentioned, those are proper basic life support certification courses. But if they want to educate and just learn the general steps on how to perform CPR, they can actually approach any of the Kementerian Kesihatan Malaysia tertiary level hospitals. That means hospitals with specialists. Most emergency departments, especially in Klang Valley, we can actually accommodate and organize this CPR education for groups which show interest on whether they want to learn or not.
Is repeated training required, like refresher courses and things like that?
For certification, definitely. Mm. But if we're talking about just to learn the skill, at least everyone should just go through the steps on what they need to do, calling 999, how to perform CPR and how to use an AED, just once should be enough.
Okay, all right. I think before we end, it's really important again to have a reminder about the signs and symptoms of sudden cardiac arrest so that you know when it is an emergency and you need to do CPR. So perhaps you could again explain, what would indicate sudden cardiac arrest in someone within your vicinity?
Okay. Remember that if you are a member of the public and you come across someone who is unconscious and not responding to your call, and if that person is not breathing, please call 999 to get immediate help, as well as to follow the instructions on the phone. If you know how to perform CPR and use an AED, please do so, because your urgent steps and your fast steps may actually save this person's life.
and remember to call for help so that other people can do a few other things like look for the AED while you're performing the CPR, right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Lee. I've been speaking to Dr. Lee Soon Han, an emergency physician from Hospital Sungai Buloh, about community CPR and how it will save your life in the event of a sudden cardiac arrest. Thank you very much. You are listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.